Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thanks to the statesmanship exhibited by our former president, Remo Kwesi, Eric Kiabetswe Masisi. Please give him some love. Please hug him in your soul. Please embrace him in your heart. Rema Sisi, Botswana has set the example of a true democracy at work for the whole world to see and emulate. For that singular act, the former president will remain inscribed prominently in our hearts. He's written his name in flaming letters into the portals of eternity. The message I impart is that this is one republic, one nation under God. Lines are drawn in the sand and blown away by the wind. We cannot allow ourselves to be drawn into squabbles about where the line was and who stood on which side. The message I impart is unity, togetherness. We are the village that the future will look back to and either praise or look back in lamentation. Let's send our roaring voices into the future to be the wind beneath our sails. Let's carry those who came before us, those we have today, and those who will come after us, to greater heights than we have scaled. Today, let's continue to create a history that we will all be proud of. Kelona, kelona ba diri ba ditso, kelona ba le rapetseng, kelona ba le dumetseng, kelona Bale lopileng Ramasedi gore letsatsi le le goroge re tle re nne le sebaka se le motsotso tsa gore re kopane mmogo re tshwaragane ka matsogo ka dipelo le ka mewa re direle le hatse la rona re direle botlhe mo go lona re dire ka lerato re dire ka boinelo re dire ka tshwaragano bona lehatshe le beilwe mo magetleng a gago bona bokamoso ja dikokomane tse di tlang bo mo maruding a gago mme go mo go wena gore mo sebakeng se o tseetshwetse o ikane o ikaelele gore o a go dira ka bonata le ka bojotlhe o a go dira le botlhe baagi le baagedi ba lehatshe la rona go emeletsa itsholelo ya lona go tsholetsa le go emeletsa seriti serodumo sa lona go hemela le go tshegetsa ditshwanelo tsa batho ba lona go dibela molao motheo go tlhomamisa gore matshelo ke a boleng a tlisang kagiso a tlisang thokgamo a tlisang lerato bona tabo ya letsatsi le lešwa mme ke na le tumelo mo go lona ke dumela mo go lona jaaka re dumalane nna le lona ke le bolelela ke re ke tekeselele maotong a lona ka gore ke mofokodi wa lona
That is the voice of the president of Botswana, Dumaboko. And listening into that conversation is a researcher and human rights activist advocate Sipho Mantula on the line with us this evening. Thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Sis Pimelo and Jumbo Africa to your listeners. Interesting audio that you are playing today, I said Duma Boko is like Monica and Brandy. The boy is mine, you know. He was using the proverb of being very important for him to have paved the way by revoking all sources pimelo, the visa regulations around some of the South African prominent politicians and business people. But I think looking at Botswana is a very interesting subject. Despite that, we still have Mozambique that is still limping and still having challenges.
Now let's talk about who this Duma Boko is.
You know, Duma Boko, you can say being a legal mind, being a person who grew up with different cultures. Like, people were very shocked to see her mother being a Xhosa in the Tswana space. Because the name Duma, Gideon Boko, but both the name and the same name says to you, but I came to Tswana now. But you look at his upbringing, that it has also have what I call the cross-pollination of the Nguni culture as well as the Botswana culture. Secondly, you see him also having contested for these elections for many years. I think it's almost a decade.
It's a third attempt, yeah.
He has been, you know, he has been seeking power. But also, he is a student of law. He's a teacher of law. That's how you can describe Duma Boko.
You know, when he campaigned, Advocate Mantula, what was his central message?
You know, since Pamela Kasi is one about the youth quake, you know, the youth vibe, the youth pool was that he was using the word, let's decide wisely, let's choose wisely, looking at the challenges that are now facing the matured, young unemployment graduates, unemployed graduates of Botswana. He looked also at the challenge that BDP has been in power for more than five decades. It's almost 58 years. He looked at that. They've missed their point on an understanding diversity of economy. Hence, you find that his vice president and the minister of finance today is a young person who also his father, Ndaba, Khawulati, his father was also minister of finance during BDP's days. So he was very clear that he wants to diversify economy. He wants to look at the issues of foreign policy, of Botswana. How does Botswana and Botswana look at the geopolitics of also the mining sector? Because the minerals of Botswana has been enjoyed by foreign multinationals. So that's how he looked at that. And I think one of the issues was to capitalize on the mistakes of the then ruling party. Because as an opposition, you are doing what other people say, playing chess. You are doing the checkmate. He looked at what Mokgweetsi Masisi has done. He looked at Ian Khan, and he saw the opportunity to say, this is where my manifesto will rest, dealing with the economy, dealing with the unemployment, dealing with the immigration question also. How do you deal with many African nationals who are in Botswana? So I think that's how he was able to can convince electorates of the Botswana to vote for him.
Interesting views on how to deal with immigration. He doesn't have a hard stance. He has a very liberal way of seeing, you know, what should be done with foreigners that that are especially from Zimbabwe.
No, correctly, because for me, Sis Pimel, me and you, if you have traveled to Botswana, you will see whether you go to the hotels or to managed spaces, hospitality is occupied by the people from Zimbabwe. And I think that's how we have seen that people of Zimbabwe, you might say that they are illegal immigrants, but most of them, they are the hard workers. And then you have what are called irreducible culprits, those who are committing crime in Zimbabwe. And that's what it becomes a serious concern for the ordinary people of Botswana. But as you said, being a legal mind, he's aware also of the laws and the treaties that Botswana have signed with the SADC, with the AU, with the international community. So he's very lenient when it comes to immigration laws. Hence, when in my introduction, I used that line that he was within 48 hours to revoke the visa restriction to people like Julius Malema, Floyd Chivambo, Bridget Dijeng Motsepe, whom I've met since Pimelo, and he was still worried about Botswana, how she was treated in Gaborone. And that's how you can feel that he was able to can merge and reconcile most of the political rifts that were in Botswana during the reign of Ian Khama as well as Mokgweetsi Masisi.
The economy is a big issue at the moment. You know, he speaks of the fact that for too long Botswana relied on this one resource, diamonds, and it needs to diversify. That economy needs to diversify. Your thoughts on his plans on how to do that?
You know, for me, I think Mokgweetsi Masisi's Pimelo have paved the way by pushing for the pro rata, for the equal representation of economy, the issue of how De Beers had to move their headquarters from Europe to Botswana. And just recently, Botswana got one of the biggest diamonds also, second after Russia. Despite that, we might talk about the minerals and the diamonds, that they become a blessing, but at the same time, they become the curse in your country if they don't bring revenue. I think the issue that he wants to diversify is also around what I also call heritage tourism. For me, is to also take care and protect the rights of the indigenous people, the people who call Horeke Basaro in that country. It is important people, Baba Ko Tenyana Teng, which I call the periphery of peripheries, Korbatu Baba Ko Tenyana Teng, who were removed because they were staying in Ganzi. Ganzi was their settlement, but they were put in Ganzi as Tenyana Teng, periphery of peripheries. In their language, they will say, "Sis Pimelo, Kasetswana, Gaborone, wena o ileng gore o gakala le rona, o re beile ko Tenyana Teng." That's how he has to deal with that question also of economy being taken away from ordinary people and only enjoyed by the people who are in Gaborone and people from Otse, Lobatse, Maune, Francistown. All those villages, they don't able to feel the benefits of economy. The Botswana system, they've been relying on South Africa, and I think it is important for him to rely on the SADC regional integration, the Africa Continental Free Trade, that Botswana must still rely on doing trade with the people of South Africa, whether it is in terms of food products, in terms of agriculture, so that they are able to benefit both countries, because Botswana is close to Mafikeng. So I don't see the reason why during the time of Mokgweetsi Masisi and others, they wanted to move away from investing back into South Africa.
And I was going to ask you about that. You know, they've almost removed themselves from SADC, you know, and I want to know, you know, how you think he's going to position Botswana now going forward.
Remember SADC headquarters, the HQ of SADC is in Gaborone. So I find the irony of how people like Ian Khama and Mokgweetsi Masisi never utilized the space of SADC being the headquarters. It's like Ethiopia being the headquarters of the AU, that the people of Botswana, of Ethiopia, they don't feel that we are actually the regional capital of the SADC region. And I think for him is to start to engage with the regional leaders, particularly on the question of Mozambique, to say, how do we intervene in Mozambique as Botswana was the secretariat in the SADC? Secondly, how do you deal with the question of Eswatini? How do you deal with the question of Zimbabwe also? Because there are many challenges as Botswana is facing, and also within the sub-region. So I think for me is that the SADC region for him is very important, to also familiarize himself with the 2063 vision of the AU, familiarize himself with the 2050 vision of the SADC, but also the SDGs of the AU. Because I think his foreign policy must also be inward looking and also outward looking. He must also look within the national interest of the Botswana, but move also to the regional block of understanding the SADC that we want. I don't think for him he has to be like Masisi, who has treated some of the issues very lightly. But seeing Mnangagwa in Botswana, it was very interesting because he's a SADC chair.
Yes.
Seeing some of the African leaders there, it is important, despite that Mnangagwa has to move quickly He did not stay long in Gaborone, and which I think he was supposed to stay so that he can engage with some of the SADC leaders about the current crisis that we see in Mozambique.
I'm curious how you think he's going to actually deal with the De Beers Anglo issue. You know, obviously he says it's a priority for him. They don't have a deal as yet. Your take on how he's going to move this thing forward?
No, for me is that as a legal mind, again, international law has to dictate to him the issues of equal sharing, equal beneficiation, the issue of informed consent, because De Beers is just what I call a facilitator. They are just digging the diamonds in Botswana. They are not the source of the diamonds. They are just what I call they are using their tools of trade to can excavate that diamond. So it will be important for him to look at the previous agreements that were engaged by the then president Mokgweetsi Masisi, to look also at the environment of the Kimberley process, because we have an international legal process that deals with the diamond beneficiation. And also for him, it is important to look at local community beneficiation in terms of employment. Mm. How do you deal with the bulk of youth unemployment? Mm. The issue also is that even if you want to move away from the diamonds and the minerals, understand also that you need to move towards agricultural revolution. Despite that, Botswana, it is a desert area. It is more, it is in the sub-Sahara in terms of climate change. But also it has potential. If you look at the issues also of tourism, like I've said, even on the issues of education, the young people of Botswana, Sisipemelo, at some point they were studying in South Africa, yes. They were studying in Britain, in Europe.
Yeah.
And that is what he must invest in, what I call public youth service.
In fact, you say that, and he came under fire not so long ago when he says, you know, the universities are useless in Botswana. So this is obviously someone who has been robust. You know, apart from the economy being central to his plans going forward, the issue of diversifying that economy, what else is on his radar?
For me, I think what is at his radar is the issue of keeping the Botswana people's interest forward. You know, the issue that the people of Botswana, the people of Botswana and the Botswana have to integrate with the SADC is very important. Mm. The issue of expanding his relation in the SADC region, for me, is that I look at this foreign policy as key, because he might be there for 5 years, he might not stay for long, because politics, they change along the way. The issue that also he has to focus on, as we said, is the issue of the regional integration, because Botswana is not an island. It is important for him to focus on regional integration, how he start to produce things, the products that come from Botswana, whether it's the food staple or the food products, whether it's the issues that come from the agriculture, when you look at animal farming, it's something that is important with the Botswana. Masisi tried to use that issue of sitting on agriculture, but more so on animal farming. Secondly, I think the issue of media. I think Botswana have never been profiled enough in the continent. They have to focus on getting into the public media and the private media in that country so that it can raise the profile of the Botswana. Hmm. The issue of media and youth opportunities. Because once you don't give young people opportunities, as he has appointed a young minister of youth, and you could see on the social media, there was a joke about other youth ministers in the continent to say that here is Duma Boko appointing a young person who's at the young age under 30, and other ministers in the continent, they are over 50, 60. They are always imagining and dreaming, but here you have a young person who understand the challenges that faces the youth. So for me, it's the youth unemployment that he has to focus on, you know, Sisipemelo, because when you talk of the economy, you want to go on a grandstanding to say investment from the West, but you need to invest on the youth of Botswana young people.
You know, Donald Trump is himself just about to head the U.S. and he's already running, not just walking or crawling into that position. Your sense of the relations between the US, they've always been very cozy. Your sense of those relations now that it will be Donald Trump at the helm?
No, definitely. You could see many African leaders, Pimelo, when Donald Trump was elected, they were sending messages of even congratulations, which worried some of us, because we ask our leaders, where is their interest, where is their focus, because we are on Global South. The American politics are always what I call a nightmare sometimes. It's not a dream. It's a nightmare sometimes. It's a nightmare in a sense that for Botswana, is that Botswana has been lenient, actually, even to their former colonizer. When you look at UK, Britain.
Very much. Very cozy. Very cozy.
You know, exactly. You know, using that line of cozy, for me, I think they've been diplomatically tempted. You know, they've been diplomatically coerced. You know, there is an informed consent by them to be too much Americanized. By the way, when you go to Botswana, the people of Botswana, they are too American sometimes, and British for me. Whenever I engage with them, I find them having an American dream, British dream. And that's how we must change the narrative, because I think for him is to treat the US as an equal partner. Despite that, you know that there was an interview that Ian Khammer denied that there's a foreign military base of the US in Botswana. But Botswana actually just recently hosted the AFRICOM meeting that some of the generals from the US were in Gaborone. So for me, it's for him to relook, rewind, revisit Botswana's relations with America, looking at America's position on the Middle East, looking at America's position on Russia and Ukraine. For me, I will say Botswana must look towards the South. It must go towards the global South. Because if you can stick with the American dream, I don't think it will benefit the young people and the people of Botswana.
Do they not have a military base in Botswana?
I think Ian Khammer denies it, but if it is a clandestine military base, it might have been created because of Zimbabwe's question, but have been created because of Zambia, Namibia, and all those military bases under Donald. I mean, whether under Biden or Donald Trump, is the national interest and foreign policy of the U.S. That they'll always want to dominate many African countries with their military power, with high budgets when it talks to military. And I think for him is to review such bilateral or military agreements if they are there. Because, as Pimelo, we don't need military bases in Africa that comes from the West.
Well, I really appreciate you giving us your time this evening. This is Advocate Siboma Ntula, researcher and human rights activist. And thank you so much. Just looking into the question of Botswana.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.